You are listening to the Accents podcast on WUKY. This episode is brought to you by Accents Publishing, an independent press for brilliant voices. My name is Katerina Stoikova. I am the host and the creator of the podcast. And my guest today is poet Chuck Stringer. Hi, Chuck. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Katerina. It's such an honor to be on your podcast. I really appreciate you inviting me today.
I'm so happy to talk to you. We have wanted to do this for a number of years, and here we are now.
It's a good day.
I have your book by Fowler's Fork. I enjoyed very much. And in every poem of this collection, I can see your love for nature. Tell us about your writing journey.
Well, I have always walked in the woods and walked by creeks and lived by rivers. And interestingly enough, I've always felt like I was walking with someone. And I've learned over the years that that's someone is that great mystery out there that let's just call it love for without getting into a lot of technical religious terms, but it very much is a spiritual walk for me, as well as a poetic walk. I retired in 2013 after 35 years in business. I wrote my first poem, or it wrote me, when I was 15. And I always loved music and poetry. I think that love of my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, rocking me in the rocking chair, singing me Gaelic songs, because she was from Scotland. And I really do think that formed me as a poet on some level. But anyway, I stayed pretty busy with my wife and two children and family. And I got serious about poetry about 30 years ago when I started walking every day at a park here in Northern Kentucky. I went out with the express purpose of after I had walked the 3 miles, I would come back with a poem. That really got things going. And then, as I say, when I retired in 2013, I became part of a community which has meant so much to me. And it's gathered around three people: Pauletta Hansel, Sherry Cook Stanforth, and Richard Haig. And in the greater Cincinnati area and nationally, probably internationally, they're very well known. That community and also the Southern Appalachian Writers Cooperative have meant a lot to me over the last 12 years and generated most of the poems in this book.
So writing is a spiritual journey. Walking a creek is a spiritual journey. Would you say that people write and don't think they're spiritual, but they are spiritual?
Oh, yes, very much so. My spirituality is fairly traditional, although I've had the good fortune, especially in my work life, to meet people from many different cultures and many different religious backgrounds. And I have very much been gifted with the perspective that there are so many roads to this mystery that's behind this spirituality. And I cannot find any poetry that isn't spiritual, quite frankly.
Yeah, I agree, because writing, to me, it's integration of various parts of ourselves and also reaching to places we understand little about. So I think that the act of writing is the act of becoming whole. And that is very healing, just like walking in the woods. And our current poet laureate, Kathleen Driscoll, she talks about walking and writing also. She says that she has a special trail that whenever she feels blocked, she walks. And by the time she takes this one special turn on the trail, she always has a poem.
Yes, I have always walked, and I've always either sung or generated poems as I walk, most often unconsciously. I find that the best way to understand this mystery and this wonder, one of the best ways, is to write poems. Something I've learned here, working in this community I mentioned, is that the poem is always much smarter than the poet. And I know I've read that in some of your books as well. And I'm very grateful to that. I sometimes get these poems from somewhere, whether it's walking by the creek or whatever. And I step back after I've first drafted and I say, how did I do
How
that? I
did I
don't know
know, right?
but I'm very grateful for that. And that's one of the joys for me about writing poetry, is it's the best poems are always a surprise and always a way of discovering and finding. I can't get out on the creek every day fast enough. And one of the shocking things, I've been walking it almost every day for 9 years, and every day I go out, I find something new. What a joy and a blessing.
It is a big world out there. Would you say that nature and nature writing is your biggest theme?
Well, in this book, I think it's that. But again, it's nature that I'm experiencing on this path of prayer or spiritual path. So that's a little different, I think, than just pure nature poetry. The pronouns in this book end up being fairly important, and the you is my reference to this mystery behind things. And one of the books that has really formed me and is a touchstone is Martin Buber's Ich und Du, which is I and Thou. And he talks about relationships with its and relationships with yous. And that really has a big influence on this book. So, but I'll jump right into the first poem, and it's called This Year. And this year is also, as you'll see, a reference to the pandemic. It's called This Year, and the epigraph is from Isaiah 43, verse 1, and it says, "Do not be afraid, I will save you. I have called you by name. You are mine." This year. Today I wake dreaming of sparrows. I dream them through the redbud and black walnut out by Second Bridge, and they'd each shared their singular songs, chipping, swamp, white-crowned, American tree. I lie here in bed a while with memory and listen. Then we walk back to a June afternoon below Two Stair Crossing to watch a bird with a brown streaked belly hop from rock to rock, bobbing its tail and snatching gnats. Louisiana water thrush. Yes, I reach out to memory to relive that chance encounter. One bird, one man, and less than 5 grand minutes connected by the creek. We walk a little farther downstream where a rush of July and August friends fly in to greet us, ducks, herons, woodpeckers, wood warblers, mimics, and jays. Sitting up, but not quite out of bed, I'm ready to pull on my mucks, put on my mask, pick up my walking stick, and head for the creek, hopeful that with distance and luck, I'll keep hearing the name Chuck this year.
How lovely.
So when I pull on my mucks, I'm talking about my knee boots, my rubber knee boots, because when I walk the creek, I would say about 90% of the time I'm walking up or down the middle of the creek, in the water, in the stream, in the flowing. And it's the great stream of life and death for me. But to give this book a little bit more context, I mentioned it comes out of retirement. But I think also the context of an importance of relationship in this book. Let me read the second poem. And it's called Gift. Grateful to be retired when you rise, to not set an alarm, sit in traffic, run meetings, fight deadlines, answer to a boss. To possess every day your own space and time. To have a table and a chair on a back porch near sycamores, with a cat lying on a rail and a laptop next to your toast and tea. To write as you watch birds gather at your feeders, vessels like a cell filled with gift, suet, cracked corn, sunflower seed. To know there's a path along a creek close by, you will walk in a couple of hours, like an Adam walking in the garden with God, naming each creature, doing no harm. To come home to a partner of 49 years who sits in a favorite chair reading. To watch as she plucks and tastes like a second Eve, the crisp, unruffled pages of another great mystery.
I like this poem and I like the ending also. And I like what you said about walking in the middle of the creek and the water is rushing around you. It's very Hermann Hesse. It is very Siddhartha. Do you like that book? Have you read that book?
I have, again, very much a spiritual quest.
Do you want to read another poem?
Yes, I mentioned that ik und du, I and thou, I and you, and one of the things I tried to get into this first chapbook, it is my first chapbook, 25 poems, and but I tried to get in a variety of forms. The first one I read was a free verse kind of narrative lyric or lyric narrative. The second one was a sonnet with offrines, a very traditional sonnet. And this one is my list poem because one of the things I intentionally was striving to do every day was to learn the names of all the flora and fauna by the creek to really get to know them. The Port Morris Manning, you probably know Morris Manning, talks about that, how important that is to learn the names of these creatures. And it's a very intimate kind of thing, it can be. And so this poem is about that and about the reasons that I'm walking this creek. As a poet, my main reason. So, with you, I walk the wildness on this trail, then find a voice and calling, say aloud each name: mink, beaver, muskrat, chipmunk, gray squirrel, raccoon, opossum, and white-tailed deer, shagbark hickory, chinkapin oak, American hornbeam, and Osage orange. Black-eyed Susan, moneywort, white snakeroot, and yellow foxtail. Green heron, belted kingfisher, eastern wood pewee, red-bellied woodpecker, great horned owl, turkey vulture, mallard, red-tailed and red-shouldered hawk. Eastern tiger, swallowtail, monarch, gnat, and horsefly, wolf spider, hellbender, American bullfrog and American toad, snapping turtle, crayfish, creek chub, and pumpkin seed. How many more yet to be found and named?
I think this is gorgeous. And I know that from a previous conversation with you that you have spent quite a bit of time and effort in service of that creek.
That's correct. And one of the great blessings, I walk the last mile of Fowler's Fork. It's a smaller creek, part of the Gunpowder Watershed, which is itself part of the Ohio River watershed here in northern Kentucky in Boone County, Kentucky. And I walk the last mile. And when I first started walking, I realized that this was bounded by City of Florence land, and it has a City of Florence nature trail that runs by much of it. And I saw an opportunity to try to clean the creek up because it was, unfortunately, over the last couple of hundred years, it served as a garbage dump. You know, throw your garbage in and the creek will take it away. And so I called the City of Florence and they really responded. And over this 9 years, we've taken out three large truckloads of debris and trash. And every day when I go out with a bag and I come back with at least a full bag of usually mostly plastic. If I had one wish, it would be to ban plastic from the face of the earth. So anyway, it is a calling and one way for me to serve to try to keep this creek clean. I have a little motto. I call it my creek keeper's motto. And it goes, every time I walk this way, I try to leave it a little wilder.
You know, Chuck, I admire you very much. I've always liked you and I've always liked your poems, but cleaning the creek, that increases my respect for you tenfold for all the right reasons.
It truly isn't work for me. Let me read a poem that's
Please.
about that. It's called Marlboro Man. And before this podcast goes out and anybody get angry, this isn't one individual. As a poet, it's kind of composite of several people who don't really respect the creek and they don't respect it as sacred space. And that'll come through in the poem, I think, but it's called Marlboro Man. It's a little anonymous game we play each week on the trails by the creek. He and his black Great Dane must see me picking up trash, but it doesn't keep him from flicking wrappers and butts everywhere. I low mutter, Marlboro Man. Then bend to bag his careless toss in a pool where silted bedrock calls to crayfish. They dart and back away from the empty pack of goals as if to shout out a complaint. Don't break the spell of wildness. I curse him again with the name, watch gold striped cellophane drop and settle under conversation falls. Still, I guess I should thank him now and again for providing the constant means to serve humble a little closer to Earth.
That's amazing, Chuck. And I have a question. What is our responsibility at this point to the earth?
Well, the earth is our mother. And I hope we're coming to realize that we should treat her with great respect and not kill her with all of our disregard and all of our selfishness. It's primarily selfishness. I truly believe in science and what it has to tell us about everything. And we cannot ignore what the science is telling us is that we're killing the earth. And it's going to start and probably is starting to kill us
Oh.
because we have caused it to react that way. And so, again, I try to do one small part, and that's really all you can do as an individual. To do something about that. And one of the most promising things to me and that makes me hopeful is I see young children watching me and starting to model some of the behavior they're seeing. And that is so rewarding to know that, to see them pick up, you know, to drink their bottle of water, throw it in the creek, watch it float, and then go back and get it. And take it home.
And then there are other children modeling other behaviors. I have to admit that I have started losing hope.
Oh, I understand. it's hard not to, almost day to day. We can't stop watching the news. I think that is a mistake. But we can't watch the news hardly anymore because it by the time you watch it for even a few minutes, you start losing hope. And I go to the creek, which is again a path of prayer for me, to be replenished and to be reminded that what we see on the news is only part of the story, hopefully. Unfortunately, one of the things that happens on the Florence City Nature Trail is on a regular basis, teenagers spray paint things on the trail, as teenagers will do, as I did when I was a teenager. Unfortunately, a couple of years ago, it was largely racial and it was disgusting. And the city of, I would call the city of Florence, they would come out once a month and paint over it and get rid of it. And I got so angry one day, I said, I'm going to go out and take a photograph of everything that's on the trail, and I'm going to put it in a poem. I guess I was trying to rub it in their face. It included the N-word, which I will not say, so I spelled it out in the poem. And quite frankly, there have been places where I've wanted to read, and they've read my book, and they kind of turned me down because these are very difficult poems to hear, but they're telling one of the things that happens by Fowler's Fork on a regular basis. I think one of the things that poetry must do is tell the truth, whether it's happy or whether it's difficult. So I have some poems that do that. My own grandsons are African American. It's one of the great blessings of my life that my daughter has a blended family. One of the poems was written on behalf of my grandson, who, when he was 11, we were sitting eating together, and he said, "Granddad, why do people hate me?" How do you answer a question like that? I thought, and I said, "Sean, I don't know." And when I wrote the difficult poem, it's called Below in the book, I had him read it. And I said, "Do you want me to publish this?" He said, "Yes, Granddad. This is the way it is. This is my experience." And his father, even more forcefully, said, "This needs to be published." And so I did it for him.
What is important to you, Chuck?
Well, first and foremost, this mystery that I call love and people, relationships. I've had a lot of health issues in the last 20 years, come close to dying several times with my heart, and realize that relationships are the most important thing in life. I've had to think about death quite a bit. And nothing would make me happier than someone to say at my funeral to say, "Chuck was loving and faithful." That's it. Not that he's a great poet, which I don't think I am. Not that he, had a successful career in business, on and on and on, but that he tried to be a loving partner, parent, grandparent, relative and friend, and that's what's important to me. That being said, I don't think I would last long if I couldn't walk by my creeks and row on my rivers and walk on my mountains. They're just so important to me. And fortunately in my life, I haven't been required to be without them. So I'm very grateful for that.
We never know how much time we have. Nobody knows when.
We really don't. And in my own life, I've had a fair amount of trauma, largely around in my early years, relatives who died with disease. And then I lost my mother at age 56, and we were very close. And I was devastated, hardly able to function for 10 years. And one of the things that poetry has helped me so much with is to work through that childhood trauma. I haven't published many of those poems. Maybe someday I will. And because there are still people alive that are mentioned in that are part of the trauma. I can't bring myself to publish them while they're still around. But I just wanted to mention that because poetry really helped me work through that trauma, which was literally on more of an unconscious level, killing me.
Yeah, so many poets say writing saved my life, poetry saved my life. I know for a fact that this is not a overstatement at all.
No, I know in reading your poems, Katerina, and if you've been through that kind of trauma, you recognize it in another person's poetry immediately. It turns out that ends up being on some strange level a blessing, though. I think it's the only way we really learn how to deeply love.
Yes, I agree, but I also think that that strengthens the connection to higher power as sometimes the only thing, the only one who understands and who can provide enough light to transform.
There's a poem in the book that it's really the theme that we're talking about right now.
Yeah, please read it.
Again, I love to write in form, and this one's a pantoum. Pantoum in which we stop to sit beside the creek, only you and I to ponder it. I walk with the one who makes me, who knows the reasons why. The creek flows on, a mystery. Ponder it. I walk with a power who breaks me. Wildness leads to a cold, hard rain. The creek flows on, a mystery that we sometimes walk in pain. Wildness, cold, hard rain. No movement on the bank, no movement in the trees. That we sometimes walk in pain, a blessing you give that frees. Movement on a bank, movement in a tree, beside the creek, only you and I, these blessings you give that free. Who knows the reasons why?
Thank you so much, Chuck, for coming on Accents.
Thank you, Katerina. It's been, as always, a pleasure to spend time with you, and thank you so much for letting me share these poems in my chapbook and get it out in the world a little bit more. I really appreciate it.